Adventures in Research. Men have ever looked to the skies for answers to their riddles. Lovers make wishes on falling stars. Farmers plant their crops in the light or dark of the moon. And in ancient times, comets were portents of disaster. Even as recently as 1910, a comet wrought fear and panic in a whole nation. This is Paul Shannon, bringing you another transcribed story of science by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Today it is the story of a comet, a strange denizen of the universe, and of the men who found it and feared it, and discovered in its mysteries a thrilling adventure in research. Back through trackless time, comets have appeared in the sky to delight, to astound, to mystify, and to frighten. In the year 69 A.D., there were troublesome portents in Jerusalem.
Aye, there are signs in the sky, Matthias.
Signs?
Comets and dragons and fearsome portents.
Portents?
Aye, Matthias, to foretell the doom of Jerusalem. I have seen this comet dangling over our city for many months, with a tail shaped like the blade of a sword, to destroy Jerusalem. Lament, lament, children of Jerusalem, for there are signs of ill fortune written in the heavens.
10 years later, in Rome, it is the year 79, and the emperor's physicians are anxious.
You live yet, O emperor? There are signs of tumult and foreboding in the sky. A comet hath appeared over the city.
To foretell my death?
Aye, your majesty. The end is at hand. The comets do not lie.
This hairy star in the heavens does not frighten me, for I am bald. Surely it foretells the doom of the king of the Parthians. For the star is hairy enough, like unto him.
But never have thunderbolts fallen in a clear sky, nor so often have dread comets blazed. They can mean but one great sorrow, your majesty. Your death.
And so into the saga of human history went the stories of comets. And it all added to the fear and forebodings of these messages in the sky. Even in the year 1000, when the end of the world was expected, the most simple phenomena assumed terrible proportions.
And the heavens opened, and a kind of burning torch fell upon the earth, leaving behind it a long trail of light, similar to a flash of lightning. Such was its light that it frightened not only those who were in the open country, but those who were indoors. As this opening in the heavens closed, we saw a figure of a dragon whose feet were blue and whose head seemed continually to increase. The end of the world was indeed upon us.
But 1000 A.D. came and went, and still the world endured. Even into the Middle Ages did the fear of comets continue. William Shakespeare, a writer of plays, gave such lines as these to his character.
When beggars die, there are no comets seen. Yet the heavens themselves blaze forth the death of princes. Comets, importing change of times and states, brandish your crystal tresses in the sky, and with them scourge the bad revolting stars that have consented unto Henry's death.
But what were these fiery symbols in the sky? The men who first realized that many of them were explainable by the regular return of a single comet was an Englishman named Edmund B. Halley.
I say, this is unusual.
What's that, Edmund?
You know, I've been hard at it, tracking the paths of 24 known comets. And in looking them over, I see that 3 of the 24 follow almost identical orbits.
Following each other around on the same track, eh? 3 of them.
I wonder. Maybe that's just it. Almost too much of a coincidence that there'd be 3. Perhaps it is all just one comet making 3 different appearances. Let's see. It appeared 1531. Again, 1607, yes. And 1682, about 75 years apart.
Mm-hmm. So if it shows up in 75 years, 1682 plus 75, shows up in
1757.
Yes. Never had much of a head for figures.
Yeah. Well, if it should return, then, no one can refuse to acknowledge that this was first discovered by an Englishman.
Well, I hope not. But come along, Edmund, or we'll be late for the opera.
Oh, you go on without me, Robbie. I want to work this thing out.
Oh, very well. But I wish you'd have said as much before. Madeline will be very disappointed.
To properly calculate the recurrence of the comet, many things had to be taken into consideration. The whereabouts of the comet through 2 revolutions, 150 years, had to be counted, and all the disturbing effects that the planets might have on the comet. All had to be accounted for and calculated. In 1742, Halley died, but his assistants worked on, even more feverishly, for the deadline was not too many years away. Finally, one of the workers, a Frenchman named Clairaut, announced,
"The expected comet will be delayed 100 days by the influence of Saturn, 518 days by the action of Jupiter, and will, therefore, approach nearest to the sun on April 13, 1759.
And on March 13th, a bare 32 days before the prediction, Halley's comet made its nearest approach to the sun. 32 days early. But what were 32 days compared to the 150 years... during only 1/200th part of which observations were made? And even more amazing, Clairaut's prediction was made before 2 planets were even known to exist. Now that Halley's theory was proven, and the reappearance of comets on a time schedule was recognized, astronomers began charting its next appearance, due in 1835. This time, the calculations were but 9 days wrong. Halley's comet came and went, to the awe of the populace and satisfaction of the astronomers. And the astronomers settled back, and Halley's comet was ignored. Ignored until the early part of the century, when an astronomer's assistant chanced on a strange discovery.
Excuse me, Dr. Glasswald, but
You should know better than to disturb me at lunch, Prentice. Goodness knows I don't have much time for more than a quick bite.
I'm sorry, but I've been charting the path of Halley's comet.
Mm-hmm. Ah, splendid, splendid. Pass me that other sandwich, will you? That's a good fellow.
Oh, and, Doctor, it seems that Halley's comet...
Yes, the comet, boy. Well, I hope we can calculate it correctly. You know, they're offering a considerable prize for the observatory that can come the closest... I do declare if my wife hasn't gone and put tomatoes in this sandwich. She knows I can't abide the silly things.
What about the comet, Doctor? Of course, I might have made a mistake, but I think I checked it pretty closely.
The spirit, lad. That's it. Always double-check everything you do. My wife had double-checked these sandwiches. She never would have let the tomatoes in them. Oof. Care for a slice of tomato?
No, Doctor. Thank you.
I don't blame you. Disgusting things. Oh, yes, you were saying...
Well, sir, it appears that the next time Halley's comet approaches the sun, the Earth will pass through the tail of the comet.
Yes. Well, what did I do with my napkin? Now, if I... pass through the tail of the comet?
Mm-hmm. over a year before the comet appeared, newspapers were screaming out the news.
Paper, Earth to pass through wake of comet. Renowned scientist says life impossible. Get your paper, X.
Then, Professor Murcher, you believe that the Earth will suffer?
It is our opinion that the tails of these comets are composed in part of gases, such as cyanogen, a poisonous gas. When the Earth passes through the tail of the comet, asphyxiation is not only possible, but probable.
Buying a house and lot, are you? For come January and Halley's Comet, you won't need a house and a lot.
You hurt me, young man. I want 12 bottles of oxygen and deliver them before January.
And as January 1910 approached, newspapers carried the ominous tidings.
Baby! 5 more suicides as comet nears Earth. Read your Herald Tribune. 5 more suicides. X-ray, baby!
Closer and closer to the sun came Halley's Comet. January became February, and February became March, and on it came. The world populace watched the comet, its head shining like a bright star, and extending outward like a searchlight's beam, the lacy shimmering of the comet pointing away from the sun.
Baby! Star Watcher says May 19 is date for meeting!
And everyone knew what meeting was meant. The time when the Earth would pass through or collide or smash or whatever nameless thing would happen when it met the tail of the comet. On the morning of May 19th, observers throughout the country noted a peculiar iridescence of the clouds near the sun. A bar of prismatic colors in the clouds in the south. But as the Earth passed into the perimeter of the comet's tail, the tail broke into two portions between which the Earth passed, with no other effects than tinted clouds and luminous haze. By the end of June, Halley's Comet was again on its outward journey, and the world moved on at its measured pace. Newspapers acted as though someone, they weren't quite sure who, had cheated them of something. After all, the world was to have passed through a million miles of the comet's tail at a speed of 2,500 miles a minute, said the New York World.
The town had prepared itself for a sensation. The bulk of workers stayed at home, believing their last day on Earth should be spent with their families. People on lonely farms in the West betook themselves to their storm cellars. The town, nay, the country, was keyed up to its highest pitch of expectancy at the prospect of being sprinkled with stardust, and the possibility of being smothered by noxious gases or bombarded by meteorites lent a keener zest to the interest. But the show did not come off, and New York went home feeling that it had been buncoed.
All right, so I did sell you my house. How was I to know the world wasn't coming to an end? It was all a joke. Now look, I'll give you the money back and $500.
Don't get smart with me, young man. All I want is a refund on 12 unused bottles of oxygen.
And the cause of it all? Halley's Comet went careening through space in its measured orbit. By 1943, it approached the outside boundary of its elliptical orbit beyond Neptune and began its big swing back toward the Earth. Halley's Comet will be seen in the skies again in 1985, less than 40 years hence. By which time, astronomers may know even more about it and be able to predict its arrival so accurately that Halley's Comet will live up to its nickname of the Prompt Comet, so recognized because of Edmund Halley's adventure in research. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. Join us again next week for another transcribed story by Dr. Thomas on Adventures in Research.